It's really good to sing a mixture of Thanksgiving and Christmas songs this morning. I don't know if you noticed in that first song how we sang, "There is a time to give thanks even for the thorns of life." And here we close with this song about how Jesus is here with us. And so I really have enjoyed these songs this morning. And I hope, looking at the clock, and they have given me so much time, I hope that we can sing a couple of them again to close. I think they're that good. Let's start with prayer, though. Father in heaven, thank you. As Richard has said already, we thank you for so many things, O God. So many things, O God. I thank you this morning for everyone here. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have a place to worship. We can do it freely in America. We can look at your word. We can sing. Oh God, we thank you for the freedoms of America. Thank you for our family and friends. Thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you for the hope of heaven. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. You've been so good to us. And so, Lord, today as we have gathered, many are just rejoicing in our spirit because of your goodness, and some have heavy hearts because it's been a hard year, it's been a hard week, it's been a hard month, it's been a hard life. But I pray, Heavenly Father, that in our church, in our community, in churches all over our community, in this nation, people would cry out to you with thanks. In spite of the hurt and the heaviness, we would cry out to you, thanks, because you are good. And so, Lord, however we have come this morning with joy or heaviness in our heart, I pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit, through your word, and we would give you praise. We love you, Lord. We really do. And so I pray that as we have come together again this morning to give you thanks and praise, you would speak to us. And you would lift us up. And you would forgive. And you would set us on the pathway to eternal life with Jesus. You would encourage. Whatever the case may be, Father, I pray today that your will would be done. I pray it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. On Wednesday of this week, I needed to run to Teen Challenge today, or Wednesday. It's always good to see those fellas at Teen Challenge. I wasn't speaking to them. I was just taking some goods to them. And while I was there, I thought, you know, I need to go to Walmart. It's the day before Thanksgiving. I really didn't want to, but I need to go to Walmart, and I had to get just three or four things. I need a couple things for church, and Sherry needed a couple things. And so I stopped at Walmart, I gathered up my stuff, and fought my way to the tills like you all have experienced the last few days. And I got there to the till, and there was a lady there that was looking a bit forlorn. And I said to her, "How is your day today, Dana?" Because I could read her name tag, and I assumed she had the right one on. I said, "How is your day going today, Dana?" And she paused, and then so I said, "Or is it too early to tell? Or has it been too long you don't want to think about it?" And she said, "My day and my Thanksgiving is blank." And I'll just not repeat what she said. I said, "I'm sorry to hear that. Why, Dana, is your day and Thanksgiving not going so well?" She said, "My son committed suicide last month. And I'm going to have a blankety blank Thanksgiving this year. And I might again next year, but maybe it'll be better then." And she turned towards the till, and she was ringing some stuff up, and she turned back to me, and I said, "Let me tell you this, Dane, I'm going to pray for you." And I have been every day since. You see, that song that we sang first is real. There are thorns in life. Yesterday, I visited with our beloved Art Prescott, who is slipping away now. He will go to the vet's hospital tomorrow, and he won't come home again. He will go home someday, soon. And he said, "Jim, I want you to tell the church thank you. Thank the church for praying for me. Thank the church for welcoming us." And after tears and communion and prayer, he said to me over and over, "God has blessed me." He's dying of cancer. He's going to leave his own home tomorrow, never to come back to it. But he concluded our conversation with, "God has blessed me. Over and over and over, He's blessed me." And I wonder sometimes if I can get to that point and say the same thing. And so I've got these two people in mind this week, and I'm thinking Christmas because it's only 3.5 weeks away or a little more, and I'm thinking Thanksgiving because we've so much to be thankful for. And so I'm asking the Lord midweek here how I should address today being the Advent season. And here's what He said to me, I believe, on my prayer walk the other morning. He said, "Jim, never forget to be thankful." And I know some of your stories, and I know that's not easy today. It's not been easy this Thanksgiving season. And I know stories like Dana and Art. It's not easy. But God reminded me that morning of what to share this morning. He said, "Always be thankful and never forget what I've done for you." And so today I'm going to look at two little short passages of Scripture and try to remind us what God said to me Wednesday morning when I was on my prayer walk, asking Him, "What should I share? What should I share?" I want us to remember, friends, always be thankful. I can't imagine what Dana is going through. I can't imagine what Art and his beloved Marilyn are going through. Some of you know, you've been there lately. But yet God reminds me on a regular basis, and I see it from Scripture over and over and over, never forget to be thankful because He is good. Psalm 106 reminds us of that. Psalm 106, 1 and 2 says, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." And we might think from time to time, and we might feel from time to time, and we might have been through the valley of the shadow of death, and we're thinking there's not much to be thankful for, but you know what, brothers and sisters? God is still good. And that's reason enough to give Him thanks, because He's good. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord," the psalmist said, "for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all of His praise?" You know what, friends? He is worthy of all of our praise. If we took every moment of every day, He is worthy of that kind of praise and more. He is good. That's reason enough to say, "Thank you, Lord." And some days, when we're lost our loved one or we're about to, it's a little hard to give thanks. But I maintain, like I said last week, if we can, I believe our day will go a little bit better. I come away from arts. I told Sherry, I come away knowing like I've come away from so many friends, knowing he's going to die soon. And knowing he's already asked me to do his funeral. I've lost a lot of good friends. And I come away from arts the other day saying, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you and the opportunity to be his friend. And I know that it's hard on those kind of days. It's been hard for me just thinking about what you've been through and listening to Dana and being with Art. But then the Lord reminded me of all the good things he's brought me through. All the good things he's brought us through. All the blessings. All the blessings he's done for us. And I was reminded of that scripture in Deuteronomy 6. The adult Sunday school class is in Deuteronomy. Go and join them some morning when Chris and Dan are leading that group. They're in Deuteronomy. It's a good chapter. It's a good book. It's Moses' last sermon to the children of Israel just before they go into the promised land. I really like Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 and 12, Moses is saying to that generation that is about to cross over the Jordan and go on into the promised land. Moses said to them in Deuteronomy 6:10, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Houses full of good things which you did not fill. Hewn out wells which you didn't dig. Vineyards and olive trees which you didn't plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord. Beware, Moses said to the children of Israel, that were going to go in and inherit all the bounty, all the beauty, all the things that they worked nothing for except for to go in and cleanse the land. And Moses reminds him, I believe, as he reminds us today, when our tummies are full from Thanksgiving and our minds are full from Thanksgiving football and everything else, never forget what the Lord has done for us. Then beware, Moses said, when you get there and you've got all these blessings. Beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And I'm thinking these last days, even with heaviness of heart, because your hearts, many of you are heavy because of your situation. And then I encounter the Danas and I go and visit Art and my heart gets heavy. And I'm reminded about all the good that God has done for us. All the good that he has done for me and my family, for you, for us, for America. All the good that he is doing in the Middle East right now, where thousands are coming to Christ that were caught up in the world of Islam and coming to Christ. And I think of all the good that God has done for me, and I don't want to forget it. I don't want to forget what he's done here for us. I know that a lot of you don't know the whole story here, and a lot of you do know it, but I want to remind us just a little bit of some of the story so we don't forget. Someday Moses was going to go home to be with the Lord, and Joshua was going to take over, and someday Art will, as many of our loved ones have this week or this year, and I will. But I don't want us to ever forget what God has done for us. Right here, in our community, in our church, I don't want us to ever forget what God has done. It was only 14 years ago, 14 years ago, this Sunday, this weekend, Sherry and I went to the Motley Free Methodist Church for the second or third time. 14 years ago only. And of all the people that you look around us today in this service and the next, 14 years ago, there'll be one here that was there that day. Just one. I'm not saying anything negative about the Free Methodist Church or positive. I'm just saying God has taken us to a new level. God has blessed us. God has saved souls. God has brought people back to Him that had no longer gone to church. God has restored marriages. God has healed the sick. He has given spiritual sight to the blind. He has set the addict and the captives free. Just 14 years ago, when Sherry and I were visiting the Free Methodist Church, we hadn't become involved there yet too much. The then pastor said, "Will you come and help us?" And we got there, and I've told you this before, we saw eight adults, and we said, "Help with what?" But it was just 14 years ago, this Thanksgiving, there was so few people there. And yet God has seen fit to breathe life into us and draw us together from many walks of life, from other churches in some cases, from lostness in some cases. And He has done a work here, and I don't want us to forget it. Pastor Bateson was the one God used to call Sherry and I into the ministry. I say Sherry and I, just because I'm the preacher doesn't mean she ain't involved. She gets brought into the equation by default. Some cases the rest of my family does too. But in the spring of 2002, Pastor Bateson said to the very small Free Methodist congregation, I'm going to another church. And he said, "Jim's going to be your pastor." Which most of you know that was news to me as well as to the congregation. But God began a supernatural work. He began to work in our hearts and in our community. And I was still full-time at the plant and very, very busy. And I would go home and farm a little bit. And I would try to do what I could at the church. And God began to do a work of supernatural proportions. And people began to come. And within 2 years, we were wondering, is this little white church the best place to do worship? The Free Methodists have been there for 100 years, but maybe it's time to do something else now. And I remember very specifically my father, who was on the board, and Dale Lehi. We're now a couple years into ministry. And we came over to the Riverside Church, met the last two families that were part of it. And we looked at the church and thought, boy, this is a sound building. Needs a little upkeep. There's only two families here. Been a little run down, but this is a sound church. And maybe if God would allow us, maybe we could buy that. And a lot of you know this story, and some of you don't, but the long and the short of it is God gave us this property, the six city lots, in that building for $5,000. Glory to God. And we were able to sell the property over there and use the money to put in a parking lot. There was trees right here and bushes and shrubs right over there, and put on a new roof and put on some new siding and new doors and new carpet and new paint. And we worked real hard and we moved in there. And we thought, glory to God, we got so much space now. And within 2 years, we were talking about two services right over there. Because God continued to bless and save souls, I might add. People were coming to Christ. And the board was wondering, I was given very little time. I was managing a factory and I was going home to farm and I was trying to do what I could for the church, but I was really given very little time. And the board was wondering, are we going to get a pastor that can be a pastor, or what are we going to do here? And along comes what some of you remember very well, the saying and the program, if you will, from the Free Methodist Church called One More Soul. And in that emphasis of one more soul, the Free Methodist Church of North America was going to give two churches in all of North America. There's 950 churches. They were going to give two churches a grant to do kingdom work. And our brother Dan Rose filled out the grant. He was on the board. And we submitted it in to the Free Methodist Church. And it simply said this: if we could get that $25,000 grant, maybe our pastor could become a pastor and leave the factory. And if he was a full-time pastor, God would see to it that our congregation would grow to the point that we could be self-sustaining. That's what Dan wrote. And it was, I believe, of God. And we sent it in. And I'm sitting over there in my office this Saturday, this weekend, yesterday, 10 years ago, yesterday. Because I said, I'm still busy at the plant. I'm still busy at home. And so I'm trying to do church work on weekends and evenings. And I'm sitting in my office on Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend because there was work to do. And I get a call from Illinois. And the guy says, Jim, we've read your application. And you're going to be one of two churches that gets a $25,000 grant. Glory to God. One of two churches in all of the United States. There's 950 Free Methodist churches. And I called Dan and I cried. I called my wife and I cried. Because I said, God has spoken. God has spoken. This is not about Jim. It ain't even about the Free Methodist Church. It's about Jesus. It's about God longing to do a work in our community. About God longing to bring people to Himself. And so we got the $25,000 grant. And I said to the board, what do you want me to do? I guess I'll go give a notice. And I went and gave some weeks later a notice after 20 years. I love what my boss then said. He said to me, Jim, I know what pastors make and I know what you make. What are you going to do? I said to him, Mike, someday I'm going to stand before Almighty God and He ain't going to ask me how much money I made. But He is going to ask me what I've done for the kingdom. And I became full-time almost 10 years ago. And it isn't about me, but God took over. And very quickly our attendance jumped to over 100 in our building over here. And most of you have been around here long enough to know that we've needed space for a while. Haven't we? And in God's timing, some people over the years were pressing me, we need to build. And I said, I know it. And I'm torn between some that want more space and some that says, hold off. And we're waiting and we're waiting. And some of you know the story about Salek. We're waiting. And I even put together a building committee and said, keep exploring. And I put our brother Art on it, who had been through several Nazarene building projects. And Art and some of his friends built two churches themselves in Mexico. And so I put this building committee together. And yet Art and I come to the conclusion, it's not the right time. And so I call it all off. And then we heard from Salek. Some of you know who Salek is. Some of you don't yet. You'll meet him someday. He'll be back from Pakistan. It wasn't Mujahid who was here just the other day. Salek is the one that has been here off and on for years and who ministers in Pakistan. And you remember, most of you that were here, when he came to me and said, Jim, I'm moving back to Pakistan and I'm asking your church for $50,000 to help us move back to Pakistan. Most of you know that story, but some of you don't. And I don't want us to forget the goodness of God. And I thought, I told you this before, and I thought the brother had misplaced his decimal points. So I called him and asked him, why did you ask for this specific amount? And he said, because that's what God asked me to ask you of. And I was praying about it on the road, out my prayer walk, and God reminded me of some things, and I brought it to the board, and we said, let's leave it to the congregation. And so we brought it to the congregation, and 167 people said, yes, give him the $50,000, to five that said no. And we said, praise be to God, this is of God. This is not normal for us to say, yeah, lay down $50,000 for somebody. That is not normal. That is of God. And I don't want us to forget what happened next, because within the next 3 months, not one, not two, but three different pledges that became a reality to build a new church came to us, and every one of them were $50,000. That is not an accident. And I don't want us to forget. I don't want us to forget the goodness of God. And last year we had this building built. And last Christmas Eve we moved in. We had 280 chairs on the floor, and we had to bring in 50 more to get the people in here. It's not about Jim. Not about the denomination. It's about Jesus. And sometimes I ask God and wonder why He has blessed us so. I believe it's because He loves people and He wants to see people in glory with Him. And I believe it's because of the prayers of people for decades, perhaps, praying that God would do a work in our communities where we live. Whatever the case may be, God has seen fit to bless us. And I, having the blessing and the privilege, having been in the Free Methodist Church now but 13 years, to have been in three different buildings because of the glory and goodness of God. I don't know, I haven't counted lately, but dozens and dozens and dozens and way over 100 people have made commitments to Jesus Christ as Lord in these last 10 years. Way over 100 that will go to glory and spend eternity with Jesus instead of going the other way. Right here, amongst us and in our community. People have been healed. I could tell you stories, but time won't allow, of lung cancer, of being dependent upon dialysis. And the doctor said, well, I guess you don't need that no more. Of my own Henry being healed of head trauma en route from our house where he got hurt to the Minneapolis Children's Hospital, where the CAT scans revealed, even though blood was coming out of his ear and his head was all swollen up, he was healed en route in the helicopter and the CAT scans, and the neurosurgeon said, we can't find nothing wrong. He has healed us. He has set the captives free. He has brought together marriages that were hurting, and even a couple that were dissolved. We get to minister to kids every week of our community, and we tell them about Jesus. What a privilege to tell them about Jesus. Craig and Tim and Jessica get to minister to 20-some teenagers every week and help give them the tools to walk successfully with Jesus. Every week we've got 60-some of you that are growing in discipleship, in studies, in class, growing to be more like Jesus. This is not an accident. This is the goodness of God. And I don't want us to forget about that. It's not bragging. I don't feel at all when Moses said to Joshua, remember when he opened the Red Sea? Remember that? That's not bragging. That's showing the goodness of God. And it's not bragging when I say to you, Listen to one of these brothers or sisters' testimony, the late Becky Albrecht or Lola Peterson or Terry Brown or Allen's tonight. It's not bragging to show what God has done. It's saying, give God glory for what God has done. And I just don't want us to forget, friends, this Thanksgiving or the next or 100 from now, the good things that God has done. Let me close with this because I'd like us to sing a couple of songs to close. I'd like us to sing that last song, Jesus Here With Us. I'd like us to sing that and maybe our hymn. But let me close with this. I believe it's very, very important to never forget what God has done. And let me say again, please forgive me. I'm not trying to minimize Dana's hurt, Art's suffering, or your pain today. I'm not trying to minimize that any way, shape, or form. I'm simply saying that God is good. And let us never forget that. I believe it's very important to remember what God has done for us and give Him praise. Always give Him praise for what He's done for us. I wish I could tell you of stories of salvations in the 11th hour. In one of my Bibles, I'm keeping a running tally by Matthew 20 of all the people that have come to Christ in the 11th hour of life. It's getting to be a long old list. Praise be to God. He wants people to be in heaven. He wants you to be. And if you haven't gotten right with Him through faith, through repentance of sin and faith, friends, you're still on the broad road that leads to destruction. You need to get off that right now and get on the narrow road to Jesus so you know that when you close your eyes in death, you're going to be with Him in glory forever. That's what He wants. I have seen so many people come to Christ in the last moments and hours and weeks and months of life. I give God glory for that. We just did Jim Walters' funeral, who come to know Christ in the 11th hour of life. I just did Edith Madsen's funeral, who through a film that her daughter gave to her, in the sunset of life, come to know Christ in the very sunset. And before that, I've done all kind of funerals for people that have come to know Christ in the very 11th hour. Oh, I praise God He's not willing that any should perish. And I don't want us to forget His goodness. Not to mention hundreds of your prayers that have been answered. Amen? Amen? Hundreds of your prayers that have been answered. Let us never forget to give thanks for God's goodness.
Heavenly Father, we just praise and thank You for being our God. And as we're reminded today to remember who You are and who we are, we serve such a great and mighty God. Lord, bless us as we go about what You would have us do this coming week. Lead us, guide us, direct us. Pray that we might serve You in all things. But above all, that we remember who You are and what You've done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.